Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And welcome to our host, Alfonso Garcia.
Hello, everybody. Now, before we get started here, do you or a loved one have diabetes? Now, if you do...
Oh, gosh.
Stop me at any point.
Please stop.
All right.
We're trying to get ad sponsors. So if you want to, as you're listening to this and you're like, you know what? We're a theater group. We're a podcast group. We're just a group of people that love theater or restaurant or business. Please let us know. We love to, for a nominal fee, very expensive fee, we'll totally put you on our podcast.
But you know who we will shout out for free is the theater groups that are listening around. Like if you want to write us into our Buzzsprout or our Instagram and or our Facebook and just say hey, we'll give you a hey right back there.
Yeah, please.
We'd love to shout out and we'd love to hear from you guys. Like what type of theater you guys like doing? And it's especially interesting when you hear about international theater.
Yeah,
like what's going
know.
On
we'll shout
in
it
some
out.
Of the different countries. Yeah, we'd love
if
to
we
give
don't
you
like
guys
you,
a shout
we
out.
Won't shout it out. But I mean, you can still reach out to us and we'll see if we like you.
I'm sure we'll like you.
Okay, we'll
yeah,
like
some
you.
Some of the feedback we get aren't even questions. They're just feedback on.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah. I needed this.
I like that. I don't know who it was, but I love that the one person that wrote into our Buzzsprout and was like, "I'm an award-winning actor."
Yeah.
Right after that episode. That was so. Whoever you are, thank you. That was fantastic. I love that.
It was pretty funny.
It was fantastic.
Let's go right into today's topic then, right?
I just want to say something before we go. When we did the sound check right now, like I know a lot of professional people out there, but John's like, "Hey, don't start till I sit down." But right before he sat down, literally there was this smack noise. And it made me jump a little. It made my, like, I'm not going to say what got tight, but I was like, oh, gosh. And then we start talking. I'm like, wait, what's my name? It threw me off, actually. I don't know why I brought that up. Sorry, Alfonso. Go ahead. I'm rambling.
You're good.
I'm glad you shared that.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, what an idiot. Go ahead.
You know what when I'm doing theater, I love working with new people who are new to the, maybe to the scene or just to that theater in general. Because
why?
To me, I know how difficult it was and it's been when I'm in a new environment and things tend to be a little bit clicky. So this reader sent in a really interesting question. Not a reader, but a listener. Maybe they were reading the captions.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But this listener asked, why can entering a new theater feel so intimidating?
Are we starting with me?
Let's start with you.
It always starts with you. I just wait. I just go, ahead, Mike. You're first.
Well, I imagine it's going to be intimidating for not just theaters, but like anytime you enter something like that and you're the new person and you walk in and you see everybody in their group of friends and they're all talking, and especially if you're I'll say I'm a really introverted person. Like I'll get on stage and I can do fine if I'm reading somebody else's lines or whatever, but as far as like going out fitting into a group, I'm not the lively person that just seeks that stuff out. So I will walk into a room and I become the wallflower very quickly, and or as Nathan will tell you, Nathan befriended me.
I did
in my first show because what was I doing? I had no friends, and so I was I didn't know anybody. So what did I turn to?
A statue. He literally sat there with his fingers up, and he just imagine kind of how Buddha sits. But then Mike had both his hands up with two pointers going for probably a good 10-15 minutes, and then finally I went over and sat by him just because partly I was trying to be funny with my friends. I was like, I'm gonna go sit by him. This weirdo. And then I went and sat by him, and then I just froze. To much of my hyperactive self, it felt like 7 hours, but it was probably only like 3 minutes that I sat there, maybe longer, and I just froze next to him doing the same pose. Not the Buddha leg style, because I would have cramped up, but I just sat there and froze. And then finally he turns to look at me and goes, "Hi, I'm Michael." I was like, "Nice to meet you, I'm Nathan." And then kind of history from there, except about 10 minutes later, Michael crawls on the ground like a dog and pees on my business partner, Steve, with Legendary. He crawls over to him and lifts up his leg and pretends to pee on him. And Steve was a cop at the time. He looks at me and he goes, what's this guy's deal? I was like, shoot him. Like, I don't know. Like, I have no idea. But that was kind of my first interaction with you, Mike. So you, I don't know if you're an introvert besides a weirdo, but you're both.
I think... You know, there is some interesting, I think, psychological stuff going on back there. I think I was so introverted, and I knew, like, okay, these are all theater people. So I would go into some weird old character, and that was how I would break the ice with people.
That makes sense,
I would,
actually.
And it's weird, you know, to look back on it, because I don't feel like, you know, I probably wouldn't do that now. You know, you know, what a good 25 years have passed. I might still go pee on Steve.
I think you would.
I do that. But, you know, and in fairness, Steve did cast me in the next show.
I know. I was shocked by that, actually.
So was I.
Yeah.
I didn't even audition for the show. Oh, so asked me to fill in. I remember I would have been intimidated, and I love the atmosphere. I was like that in college, too. We talked about that in a previous episode where they would call me Quiet Mike. And, because I would go in and I loved the atmosphere. I wanted to be there so bad, but I wasn't going to go up and talk to anybody. And when I first came in, you know, just going into, you know, college theater out of high school, I walk in and I mentioned this on another episode too, but just to recap real quick, I walk into the college theater for the first time and the lights are all out. There's a blue light on stage. This guy is up there with a skull performing a monologue from Hamlet. And I'm just like, I am so far out of my league right now. I am so far out of my league, but I want to be here, but I'm horrified to be here. And I don't know any of these people. And so I honestly, what you just said about how you like to go hang out with the new people, because you remember when you were that person, I'm sure that is very, very appreciated, because yeah, walking into anything that's cliquish, that's rough. That is rough.
I think for two things. I think when you first come into a show, I like, and this is what I tell anyone when I did sports, when I'm in shows, however many, I've been in blah, 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 many shows, I don't even know how many, but I've been in a lot of shows, and I still get butterflies. I still have this sense of, I hope I'm good enough. I want to be as good as the team I'm on stage with. I want the audience to receive this journey, this story, this message. So I still, even opening a show, giving like, hey, welcome to dot, 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 I still get butterflies going, oh man, like imposter syndrome, if you will. I feel like I'm just not good enough. But I think that partly keeps me on my toes to know that I can always do better. Do your best, then do better. And so when a compliment to me as a director producer, when I hear people come and go, I'll use Joseph as an example, or I saw the last show you guys did and I was floored. I was amazed by the talent. I'm so lucky to be a part of this theater, this show, this whatever they're doing, the production team. To have that kind of appreciation of the quality that they saw, and now that they're nervous about being a part of that, it's a nice compliment, but also I think that's a healthy spot to be at, because it means that they're going to do their best to reach that goal. And if you're already in a cast and you're coming to an audition, if you're coming to orientation, you're in the show already. Have faith that you're there for a reason. You're good enough to be there. Now just work your butt off to prove that you are there for a reason, and that you're willing to keep learning. And I constantly, in every facet of production or any job I've ever done, I always want to impress, so I always try harder. So I would say, don't be scared. Just have that healthy fear that you're going to do your best and just be willing to close your mouth and learn.
I think it's cool for, you know, as a director, if you know that the actors have some kind of a horse in the race.
Yeah,
they got a stake in the game. And whether it just be like, hey, what's your goal for this? I want to do a great show. More than that, like, what is? Do you want to take your personal, talent to a new level? You want to try to rise up? It's just because they're trying yes. Something. This isn't just a routine. This is a, you know what? I've always wanted to just maybe hit this level, and I want to do that here, you know, whatever it means. But there's a difference when you see an actor that's really, really trying. They're invested in it, as opposed to, and let's face it, we've probably been this person, but you walk into the dressing room, show starts at 7:30, 7:25, they're not in costume yet,
yeah.
And they're hold on, we're playing checkers, we'll be there in a minute. Like, well, the overture's starting, how long until we're on? 15, yeah, we'll get ready in a minute. Like, You know, I'm sure we've been that person too at some point. But
100%.
It's, you know, when you come in and the actors are there early and they're getting into costume early and they're set, they're like, okay, guys, time for mic check. I already got mine. Like, wow, you're on top of it, man. And they're just, they're.
And that's kind of what I kind of tie in Chekhov, I call it Chekhov Prince theory, but notice something new, because I have done that, where if I've done a role before or you feel comfortable, you're like, oh, I got this, whatever. That's sometimes when I mess up the most, too, when I let my guard down. And that's why I tell performers all the time, and even in my own brain, I tell myself, notice something new. Keep it fresh. Keep it engaging. Whether it be a caller out of place in the scene, you're like, oh, that's new. So the audience receives something new as well. But I think as directors and producers, that's our job, too, to keep it fresh. If I give you the same speech all the time, it stops becoming authentic. So, and each cast is different, so it shouldn't be necessarily the same speech. Same information, maybe, but notice something new. And I think that's key.
And you mentioned those butterflies. And, the butterflies are good to have. And, yes. and you know, we like to hear when the actors have butterflies.
When they're a little nervous, they care.
It means that they care.
Yep.
So look at the opposite, where they're like, you're not in costume. I'll get it later. You nervous? Any butterflies? Nope.
Well, that goes back to what we talked about. You don't know the impact because the rest of the cast sees that attitude, and all of a sudden it starts becoming more people start getting, I'll get ready. They're not getting ready yet. I'll get ready. Then all of a sudden there's this hodgepodge of people that looks like they're not as invested. And you're like, no, that's the opposite of what you want. Especially as a director, you're like, why is everyone sleeping right now? Let's go. Like, let's roll. Let's do it.
Yeah, Alfonso, you asked in the last episode about things that build trust, and, you know, what we just talked about, that's the opposite of building trust right there. I would say, like, all those things, when you spread that kind of, I don't know, it's like they're not caring as much, and that becomes contagious, and that can go through your whole cast. And maybe that doesn't, they didn't even do anything that's untrustworthy. Like, you know, so we were talking on the topic of trust. They're still going to make their entrance. They're still going to be there on time. They're still going to do their lines. But it's just like, man, we're pushing it to the limit, to the limit, to the limit. And everybody's seeing that. And it's like the initial excitement is not there anymore. And that, I don't like that.
Yeah. You know what? I think that a lot of newcomers are going to listen to this. This is an episode they're going to pull just to get your thoughts on it. So if you were speaking directly to a newcomer, let's say somebody that you personally, both of you, you cast in one of your shows, and they said, hey, this is my first show. I'm a little nervous. What can I do to kind of integrate myself to where I feel a little bit, you know? What would you recommend? How would you answer that question?
The very first thing I would say is go in there and do your best. You're already cast in the show, so you already got the role or roles, depending on what it is. Go in there, do your best, and then do better. Be willing to walk away and learn something new and make a friend. You take the initiative. Don't sit back and be a statue. But but truly, go meet someone. It's up to you to expand. And then I think just do your best and do better is the biggest thing I would say to simplify. Do your best and do better. Grow.
And I would probably, you know, if I were to have a conversation with them, I might want to know, like, okay, what are you the most concerned about? So this is you're new to this. What is worrying you the most? Is it learning your lines? Is it being up in front of an audience? That's a strange thing with actors. It's like we want to do the show.
Though.
I know. Oh yeah, we want to do the show and we want to be up there in front of actors, but the audience terrifies us at the same point in time. What a weird thing. But is it memorizing the lines? Is it being afraid of, you know, being an actor with severe stage fright? Is it you worried about meeting other people, or what if you don't measure up to those other actors? I just, you know, real honest, like, what do you think is bugging you the most? And then let's address that, and like, what can we do? And if it's the lines, how am I ever going to do this? Oh, I just got a part and I've never had this many lines before. You know, start in, you know, look up some tips on memorizing lines. Find the method of memorization that works for you. Everybody's different and does different things when they memorize lines, but don't wait. Start now. Jump right on that, tackle it, and you'll find a way to make those lines come. And if it's, I don't know anybody, as Nathan said, take the initiative. You know, hopefully these people are not going to be jerks to you. And if you walk up to somebody and, hey, I'm new. Can you show me around? Can you? I would certainly hope that everybody would be very kind and friendly to you. And, you know, we were just talking about that, the importance of having a cast that really is kind and friendly to each other.
Well, I want to speak to that a little bit more, Michael, because your situation is a little bit more unique because you have a cast that's generally an established group that works together often. Mm-hmm. So when you bring somebody in new, it's much different from them because they're entering there with somebody with an entire group that is very tight-knit. So how do you navigate that as a director? And is that something you talk to the cast with before and they kind of know what that expectation is?
Every time I bring in somebody new, they're gonna describe the process. It's kind of funny, like to hear them describe it. It typically will start off with me going to watch a show, and I see an actor in that show, and I think that's pretty good. They did a good job, and if I go back to see them, you know, another few times, and I consistently like them, I may start to reach out to cast members who worked with them and to the directors that worked with them and maybe like, hey, you know, I just came and saw this guy, Bob, in your show. How is he to work with? And the directors will give a response. And hopefully it's a good response. Hopefully they're like, this guy is just incredible. So that's like two positives for me. I've just seen them and I really enjoyed it. And the director really enjoyed working with them. And then I'll go around and ask actors who worked with them, like, hey, what do you think about this person? And if they like it, that's a third positive. I may go onto their social media and look, too, because I want to see what they're saying about, you know, you got all these positives, but then if you go on their social media, man, this theater company sucks. I hate the director. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much. But, you know. But if all the right things are fitting into place, then I may reach out to them and say, like, hey, I'm with Play With Your Food Productions, and see how they respond. Now I may say, hey, I caught your show yesterday. I'm with Play With Your Food Productions. I thought you did a really great job. Have you ever heard of us? We're, you know, this dinner theater over here, and we'd love for you to join us sometime. And then I wait for their response. The response is everything, because I feel like I made an intro, and now I want to see what they shoot back. If they shoot back with like a thanks period, I move on very quickly. Like if they write back with, you know, like, hey, thank you so much. Oh, I would love to go to Play With Your Food. I've heard of you guys, and I'd love to check it out. Great. Now I can get going. But it is a very careful vetting process.
I was about to say the vetting process for Play With Your Food is pretty intense. It's like getting into the Secret Service.
You might get Secret Service first.
Yeah. Well, it is funny to, like, you know, talk to people in the group because I forget some of the conversations that we have. And it's funny when they start talking to each other. Dude, he sent me a message and he asked me this. Well, he sent me a message and asked me this. I was like, oh, I remember that now. But I don't want to, like, you know, reach out too much and just, like, you know, throw all the cards on the table. I want to hear from you guys, too. I want it to be a conversation, and I want to see what I can learn from you over those initial messages. Because I can usually tell whether, you know, a good vibe is going on or not. And what I'm really looking for, I know that the talent is there, right? I know the talent is there because I've just watched you. I want to see if you're going to fit in. And I want to see how you communicate, and I want to see if you're going to be able to jive with the rest of the group.
I got an interesting follow-up, Finn. So you have these newcomers that are in there. Do you have regulars that maybe intentionally or even unintentionally block that growth? Do you see that? And, like, what do you do as a director?
I have not seen that with my company. Nope, haven't seen it. Nathan?
What part am I answering?
Yeah, well, it's just because... And I can understand that, Michael, because your vetting process is Secret Service level.
Yeah, it's like, he knows your credit score, I'm
but basically,
sure.
What I'm saying is, like, when you have these regulars, and sometimes they can be a little bit more protective of their spot. They're like, hey, but who's this? Who's she or who's he? And do you see that Do you notice that? Do you see that, like, regular try to block the growth of that newcomer? What do you do in that situation?
I guess I will say it's a lot more, it's deeper than that, than just that one facet. But I definitely see, I'll use the word regulars or alumni, definitely take some type of ownership or, like, welcome to my theater kind of attitude. You definitely see that. And there's one, if I was two-faced, there's part of me that goes, yeah, take ownership. I love that you value it that much. But then there's another side going, no, wait, what? Like, huh? No, love them. You were that person literally a show and a half ago. Like, what's going on? So, yes, I don't know that it's necessarily, like, not wanting them to be involved. And I try very hard to not allow kind of clicks. If I see, like, four people over there, I'm like, why don't you go join them? I'll purposely kind of say, why don't we all hang out? Or, like, during breaks between shows, I'll tell people, no, invite them too. Like, we all can go hang out together. And sometimes people are, obviously, they're entitled to go hang out with who they want. But that's important to me, that people feel welcome. So the theater grows, but also, more importantly, so people know that they matter. They're not outcast. And that's huge for me. But on the same topic, with the regulars, you see people that will get my phone number or Steve's phone number or Messenger and go, hey, I know the show's coming up. What do I need to do to land this role, Alfonso? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He's actually never done that. He has asked me, what age range are you looking for these roles that you've asked? But it is hard because people that don't know me or don't have any connection to the theater, they can't make that call or that message. So it's kind of, is it fair? Is it right that I tell you, you know, I want her to be or him to be British. So if you come in with a British or Irish accent, you're going to have one up. I do it. Is that okay? And the answer is, I don't think so. Even with my own kids, like Natalie just recently auditioned for Frozen. I didn't touch her audition. I heard her audition once and she was doing a pop song, which kind of can work for Frozen. But I went, oh no. I was like, no, don't do it. So I kind of just said, well, think about the song you want to do and what do you want to tell the production team? I stepped away, and Alfonso, to your credit, you helped her out a lot. You and I stepped away, and you could attest to that. I didn't give her pointers. I didn't go, no, or, mm. And I actually teared up when she showed up with a resume with her two shows and four kids' camps she was a part of, a show she was in when she was like six or something. But when she showed up with that resume, there's some alumni that show up and just write their name on a piece of paper that been in 10 of our shows. And I go, ah, man, show us that it matters. But seeing Natalie do that meant a lot to me, seeing her put her best effort forward, obviously as a dad. But even the whole production team is like, wait, she has a resume? And it was a proud moment to go, well, yeah, look. And I know you helped with that, Alfonso, but I think that's a life lesson. So as far as alumni and people that have, you know, that feel like there's a connection, it's hard sometimes because you want to support people and give them the best platform to succeed. But then you're like, where do I draw the line and go, no, that might be crossing a line of friendship or alumni-ship. And what if there's 10 people that come out that never seen Legendary or any production company that I'm a part of? And then you go, oh, well, did I help them out? Is that fair? So that's a hard... Oops, sorry, I hit the mic, John. But I think that becomes a tricky gray area sometimes.
Hey, so question there. So you mentioned you didn't want to help her out with her audition. Why not?
Because if I help her, I feel like I owe the responsibility to help other people. Now, her singing in the car and stuff, and maybe as a dad, and I would say, hey, as your dad, I would say try to open up here. But I do that with songs. When we do worship, when we do other songs, or they're just singing 17 and other shows, I'll give them pointers in my opinion. But I don't want anyone to say, oh, Natalie got in for her dad. I don't want people to say Alfonso got in because we're pals. Like, I don't want anyone to ever say that. And I want their work and their effort and their talents to get it even more. And I grew up with this with my dad at school. He was a teacher, but more of like an assistant principal figure. And a kid would throw a piece of trash on the ground during lunch, and they pick up 10 pieces. I throw a piece of trash. I'm picking up my whole lunch was gone. I'm picking up the whole campus the whole time. And I remember he used to get so mad at that. And I'm like, Dad, why? Why are you so hard on us? He goes, because you're setting an example for me. And if I don't make you do that, people will think I'm showing favoritism. Now, I think there's a balance. I need to pick up all my lunch. We could still argue about that. But it's the same thing with the theater. I don't want my kids in sports, theater, in life. I don't want them to think they got something. I want her to be proud of the effort she put in, that she accomplished something without me helping. And when she got it, I cried, I hugged her, we high-fived, and I was so proud of her. So I got to celebrate that with her. And it was a better position to be in to let her think she got a handout. I'll never do that.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to. I mean, I know you would want to. I know you'll answer it off the air. But but how much of a say do you actually have? Like, say for Frozen at the Redlands Bowl, how much of a say do you actually have of who gets in there? Because I know that you have a panel. Like, does Nolan have a say? Is like, if Nolan really wants somebody and you don't, I mean, you got a group of people? Is that done?
Yeah,
like democratically.
For Frozen, it was Beth Ann. Beth Ann is a choreographer. Nolan music, and then there was a whole committee. Steve obviously has a massive say. Ultimately, it comes down to Steve and I as producers. Mm-hmm. We ultimately have the final say. Now, if it's on a scale, obviously I'm directing the show, so I'll probably have a little bit more pull saying, hey, I can get this from them, and Steve respects that. Steve respects that part of it. But ultimately, what I do, I'll just tell you the process. I get a piece of paper after callbacks, and I write down each person on the panel. This is what I do every show, and Alfonso could attest to this. I write their name down, and then I ask them, for Elsa, and then each person goes and gives me their number of people that they saw. 1, 7, 15, 99, or whatever. And then I go down the whole list, and I compile at the end how many people got certain votes. And then I don't discuss it there because we're all tired, and I may have my... If I give my opinion, then someone might go, well, if Nathan thinks this, I don't want to say number 5. So I purposely do not give my opinion at all in that moment. I let the entire Kim and the entire production team give me their opinions first, and then I tell them what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this home, I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to look and make my own kind of score below. Whoops, gosh. I hit the mic again. I'll make my own score, and then I kind of balance it out that way, and then I put a cast together, and then I email the production team saying, here's the way I'm leaning. Let me know your thoughts, and let me know your ideas in either yays or nays. And with as far as when it's friends, if my brothers or even my daughter, I didn't bring my daughter's name up. I purposely did not say, I went down the list, said, what about number? And I said her number. And they go, yes or no. And not specifically, I'm not going to talk about her, but in certain situations with either girlfriends, wives, whatever, wives, like I have multiple, I have had, but whatever. but they will say, no, I don't see her in that role, or I don't see him in that role. I put it down, I respect that because they're on the team, because I trust them. Now, I may overturn that call, but I take it with a great heart. Like, we know that's not their pitch. And Nolan goes, that's out of their range. I do trust their process, but ultimately, it comes down to Steve and I making that final decision, I would say.
One more thing I just want to ask you guys, just to kind of close it up. What responsibility do theater communities have to new people entering the room?
I think... One, to make them feel welcomed, to make them feel like they are indeed a part of the community, hence the community theater. You've got a person coming in, and welcome them, and then show them the ropes. Don't leave them there to flounder. If they have any questions, I mean, if you need to pull them aside or if you need to just address the group and just be like, hey, if you guys have any questions, if there's anything that we can do to make this process easier for you, please feel free to reach out. Come grab me, before rehearsal, after rehearsal, during break. Shoot me an email, send me a text. Let me know what's going on. I think that you should make yourselves available to them so that they know that they have somebody that they can go to, that they've got an instant friend, and make yourself an instant friend. Make sure that they know walking into it that they are supported and that they are welcomed and you are glad that they're there. And I think that that's a great first way to start that.
Before I get into my answer, I want to say something about their last question, though. I do not want to discourage people about reaching out to me and saying, hey, Nathan, what about this role? I think go ahead and do that, but respect the answer. If it's, hey, you know, that's too much, just respect the answer. I'm all for it. I want to be accessible. I want people to go, hey, what are you looking for this role? I'll be like, you know, I'm going to post that online. Or I'll say, you know what, here's what I'm looking for. But trust the answer. No, it's not personal. Obviously, I like you here. And I want you a part of the theater because without you, Legendary doesn't exist. So it's important, and I'm okay with the questions, but I'm always scared to answer those because I'm afraid of the ramifications or the hate groups or whatever that
was. I did everything you told me to do.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid, because like, well, I did what you said. Okay, you did. Congratulations, and it was really good. It just wasn't what I was looking for necessarily. And maybe what you thought you pulled wasn't what I was looking for. So it's a hard line to do, but I don't want to discourage people from reaching out. I'm totally for that. And I love that, actually. I do like that they're putting the work in. And Mike said it best as far as that last question. Make them feel welcome. I think our job as the community theater or the production team is to say you matter. Whether it's the biggest track or the smallest track, you're a part of an ensemble, and the show doesn't exist without an ensemble. A one-man show still takes a team. Whether it's flicking the lights on or shutting them off or opening the doors, even a one-man show or woman show, it still takes an ensemble. And I think that's the biggest thing to relate to someone coming in going, hey, you matter. To make this successful, it's because of you.
Just respecting and valuing everybody's position on the team and what they bring to the table. You know, when I am doing a new show, it always feels like I am entering a room where the conversation's been going on and I have to pick it up. So the only thing I would say is lighten them up as to what's going on in the conversation. So, yeah, great stuff, guys. This has been the Upstage and Gentlemen podcast. I am Alfonso.
This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions, and we'll catch you guys later.
This is Nathan. Later.
See you guys.